Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief. Yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Opinion, he'll give you one.
He's blunt. It's the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Friday evening as we start to round the corner and head to SEC Media Days, which I say is the unofficial launch of the college football season. So it will be here coming up next week, and you know it won't be long before we get actually into game time action. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy Matt Marshall. He is the national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel and Tribune. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at @osmattmarshall. And Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here in Atlanta to talk some college foosball with you.
No problem. No problem. It's here. I was at Big 12 Media Days this week, and there's nothing that gets you more in the spirit than talking some football and getting ready for football to actually kick off.
You know, I realize, Matt, everybody's in this thing for a buck when we've got the ACC negotiating with the CW to get games on. I don't know what the deal is. I didn't see the monetary, financial gains from all of this, but it really does feel like it really is a arms race. And I don't know, maybe it's just kind of the old school in me. Like, everything is just about the money motivation and just trying to get as many streams of revenue as these conferences possibly can.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, and I think, you know, part of this deal that with the ACC, I think it was more of a regional. You know, I've talked about the old days, you know, with Raycom and how they used to have some games on the Raycom channels, this new deal with CW allows them to get some of those regionalized games on there, the games that maybe normally you wouldn't, you'd have to struggle to find a little bit, like a Duke Syracuse football game, maybe ends up being on this game. It's I think it's 13 football games over the year. I don't know if it's going to be, a big financial windfall for the ACC. I think it'll provide a little bit of a boost, but this is a conference that has members that are, begging to get more money. They're looking around, seeing the SEC and the Big Ten, shooting ahead of them when it comes to revenue. So they're just trying to find any way they can kind of catch up. And you're 100% right about, a lot of things, a lot of decisions that are being made at all these levels are being made because of money, and it's being made because everyone's trying to keep up with everyone else, and they're trying to find ways. Listen, how can we make up enough revenue? How can we catch up with our neighbors or our rivals or whoever's out there? We got to find a way to do that. And they're willing to slap a logo, a name, or whatever on anything that needs to be done to try to do that.
How much is also, Matt, the idea of protecting the brand of the ACC before conferences start trying to come in and purge teams, right? I mean, this is now the other thing that we're seeing is obviously, you know, the purging of teams. And I've always said, I think there'll be super conferences at some point. I think there'll be, you know, maybe four, maybe six, but I think 4 to 5 super conferences, and those will be the teams that really compete for the national championship. But how much is trying to protect the brand of the ACC and not have everybody else start to come in there and purge their members?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, they're doing everything they can to make everyone happy. You know, you look back the April when, you know, you had Florida State and you know, North Carolina and Clemson and some of those schools that were, you know, talking about ways of breaking that grant of rights deal so they can find a way to possibly get out of the ACC. You know, that's a big deal. You know, they're trying to – so the ACC's thinking, okay, what can we do to try to help make some of these schools satisfied that – in case something does happen, you know, that they're not, you know, tempted to want to leave, they're not tempted to want to go somewhere else. And, you know, so I think they're trying to find any way they possibly can. Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, has said they're going to work, you know, as hard as anybody to try to find a way to supplement some of that, you know, revenue and make sure that everyone is kind of happy. It's one of the reasons why they went to an uneven revenue distribution model, you know, so they're just trying to make sure that the schools that are actually, you know, having success will be able to benefit from that. So now whether or not, like I said, I don't know if this deal is going to be a huge, you know, influx, but I think it's going to help a little bit. And you have to do these kind of things because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of conference realignment going on. And I'm kind of with you in your mind that I think there's probably going to be about 4 super conferences when it's all said and done. I think one of these conferences, whether it be the Pac-12 or someone else, is eventually going to fold, and the rest of the remaining schools are going to fold in somewhere else. So it's going to be interesting to see when that happens.
Matt Mershell, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And to your point, Matt, you know, you wrote an article talking about how much more travel Central Florida is going to have now being a part of the Big 12. And, you know, the report came out that I think it was, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I think it was like, USC is going to have about 10,000 miles of travel, you know, in the Big Ten to play these games with Rutgers or Maryland or what have you like that. You know, how sustainable is this? I mean, you know, again, we don't talk about the idea of trying to save money. It's about just trying to keep accumulating money, right? I mean, it's not, you know, it's just the idea of, okay, we just need to make as much money as we can to satisfy these models. But maybe the model itself is flawed. I mean, maybe the model for, you know, UCF and the Big 12 is sort of flawed, or Southern Cal and UCLA traveling to the Big Ten. I mean, maybe that's what's flawed instead of the idea of trying to just, you know, make as much money as we can.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I talked to a couple of people. I talked to someone from West Virginia, Ren Baker, the, you know, athletic director at West Virginia, and he was talking the other day about how he's excited to get, you know, UCF and Cincinnati, you know, into the Big 12 fold because they wanted more East Coast teams because that helps with their travel. You know, I mean, they were talking about ideas that there are going to be some games where, you know, if it's a night game, you know, they leave, they don't get home until the sun comes up. You know, sometimes even if they charter a plane, you know, that's what's going to happen. And, you know, now you're talking, you know, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark has talked about wanting to expand, you know, more out to the West, you know, the West Coast. You know, you start adding more schools out that way, you know, that's a long trip, and it's not just football. I mean, you think about football, it's about 5 or 6 games a year, you know, for these schools to travel. It's about the other sports. It's about, you know, the volleyball and the tennis and your softball teams and all those, you know, having to travel, you know, those programs don't charter flights. They fly commercial. So that's very hard on you know, not only the expense, that's very hard on the athletes themselves because, you know, flights get canceled, things like that happen. So when you're looking at these schools, you know, I think a model that would have worked much better is regionalizing a lot of those sports, those non-revenue generating sports, and letting the football and the basketballs be the ones that have to travel, because I think that's a more sustainable model. But that's probably not going to happen because these conferences continue to expand and grow, and the schools want to continue to have these programs all kind of benefit from that as well.
Well, and Matt, you know, also the aspect of, you know, and again, this is, you know, again, I always talk about this being the most ridiculous term, the quote, student athlete, unquote. You know, again, how can you focus on getting your education when you're traveling 10,000 miles across the country. I mean, just, you know, again, when you're traveling that much and you're distracted and you're away, how do you focus on your educational aspect of things? I mean, I know study halls and all that kind of stuff, but again, you know, you're traveling so much for your sport, then how do you focus on the academic aspect? And they try to sell us on that idea of student-athlete, but in reality, I mean, you know, again, this is why NIL is here, is that these are jobs that these guys have.
Yeah, very much so. And listen, there's a lot of athletes, especially at the football level, that don't even go to class. I mean, they're taking online classes, you know, because they set it up so they don't have to bother going to a classroom. They can just do it wherever they're at. And you know, some of these programs, especially the bigger ones, they're paying to have tutors go with them as well. You know, these tutors fly, you know, on these trips because they want to make sure they have that for the education side of the things. But, you know, but we're talking about the upper echelon, the football, you know, and the basketball program. Now, when you get to the Olympic sports and some of these other sports, you don't have that kind of money to be able to afford to do that. So you've got athletes right now who are like, okay, it's going to take me, if I go to a volleyball match, you know, over the weekend, and you know, like you said, from USC to Rutgers, I'm going to be there at least 2 or 3 days. And then if I got homework and all that other stuff, you got to do it on a plane, you got to do it in a hallway or in a hotel room. And, you know, I mean, it's not conducive. And so I think the idea that administrators like to fall back on the academic side of things, this is ridiculous, because if you had thought that way, you wouldn't have agreed to this deal, or you would have worked it out so maybe some of your other sports didn't have to worry about it.
Matt Michelle, National College Football Writer for the Orlando Sentinel, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. All right, let's talk a little bit about the football aspect of things. Obviously, you're not too far away from us here in Atlanta, in Orlando. Any reason to not think that Georgia is the prohibitive favorite to be the number one team in the nation? And probably when you look at that schedule, I don't know that there's a landmine on that schedule that you can point to and say, okay, maybe this is where Georgia stubs their toe. I think at worst they're 12-0 going into the SEC title game.
Yeah, no, they're going to be number one going into the season. I agree. I mean, there's no way they're not. If they aren't, then there's something you have to really question. And you're right. You look at their schedule. I mean, there is no way they shouldn't be undefeated on the schedule. I mean, unless something happens where someone gets injured or they lose a couple players. I mean, it's just, you know, their schedule is so manageable. I mean, it's unbelievable. I have people all the time who ask me, you know, well, what about the quarterback situation? And I say, well, listen, I mean, if it's Carson Beck or whoever it's going to be, I mean, you've got a solid defense. You've got, you know, you've got lots of playmakers around you. You've got an offensive line that's coming back. It's not like you have to do anything extraordinary. You just have to make sure you don't, you know, turn the ball over. You just have to make sure that you can continue to run the football and do the things that Georgia has done over the last couple of years to be successful, and you're more than likely going to win these games. I mean, you know, like I said, this when you get down to the schedule, I mean, you know, Florida is not going to be that much of a challenge. You know, maybe at Tennessee would be a game that you could look at to say, okay, that's going to be one to really kind of look at. But after that, I mean, the biggest challenge is going to come probably in the SEC championship game.
Matt, I tend to latch on to a certain program depending on, you know, what year it is and you know, things like that. Just, you know, somebody who I think could be a real, maybe, like, I don't know necessarily dark horse, but somebody, you know, that could get themselves in the playoffs. Well, last year I had NC State and that kind of blew up in my face, but I really do like Florida State this year, and I think Florida State's going to be a handful for anybody that they play, both their offense and their defense. I really like this group that Mike Norvell has down there, and, you know, this could be the best Florida State team we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, this is a Florida State team that we're used to seeing, that we used to, you know, back in the Bobby Bowden days, you know, when, you know, you had, you know, talent at every position, you know, you had depth, you know, there was athleticism. You know, that's something that's been lacking from this program over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, ever since really Jimbo Fisher kind of left. Even his last year, I would say they were probably starting to go downhill. But Mike Norvell has done an amazing job getting in here in a short time in 3 seasons. You know, he's used, you know, recruiting. He's used the transfer portal really well. I think he's brought in 45 transfers during that 3-year period. You know, and all those transfers have pretty much all of them have been successful. They found ways to help out. And he comes back to this season. You know, they return 16 starters. You know, you got Jordan Travis coming back at quarterback. They return their leading rusher in Trey Benson. They get Johnny Wilson, their top receiver, back. You know, their offensive line is pretty solid. Got lots of depth now. That used to be a problem for them. And their defense is going to be just as impressive. You know, I mean, again, Jared Verse is a guy who could have easily been a first-round pick in his past NFL draft. If now comes back, he's probably more likely going to be a top-5 pick, you know, if things go well for him. And so they've got lots of pieces, lots of talent coming back. I think this offense is just going to be as explosive as it was last year. They get tested, obviously, early on in the opener against LSU. I think that's going to be a big game to see kind of how far this team can go. And then they go to Clemson at the end of September. But after that, I think if things kind of click for them, I think they can cruise all the way to the ACC championship.
So, Matt, let me ask one final question about that program where you're at with Central Florida. And I have a little bit of an affinity for Central Florida. I worked for a guy whose son played for George O'Leary and ended up in the NFL. And, you know, I was at the first ever game at Bright House Stadium on campus and, you know, kind of had, you know, some fun memories of, you know, going to football down there. What's the feeling about Gus Malzahn? Is there pressure on him? Do they think that they have to get back to, you know, the Josh Heupel days? I mean, what's the tone and tenor of the Central Florida program?
I think people are excited. I mean, this is a big year, obviously, for them to going into the Big 12. But there's also some trepidation going into this year. I mean, they're picked to finish 8th, I think, in the media poll. I think they'll finish a little better than that, you know, but I still expect them to have some adjustment periods. You know, I mean, we talked about this earlier. Travel is going to be something they have to deal with. You know, they go to Boise State in week 2. You know, that's a game that Gus said, you know, we're not going to get home till 6 a.m. on Sunday. You know what I mean? And he's like, that's going to be a challenge for us. And all these kind of longer kind of trips are going to be a challenge for them. They have to get the depth built up, you know. But I think as long as you know, UCF is in a upper-tier bowl game, I think fans will accept the fact that, listen, it's year one in the Big 12. We're going to have to kind of grow into it. Now you get to year 2 and year 3 and you start to struggle a little bit, I think there might be a little more pressure. I think what's also helped Gus is he's recruiting really well. I mean, they've got a top 45 recruiting class right now. He just signed or just got commitments from 3 or 4 stars over in a 6 or 7 day period. You know, guys from Georgia that just like one after another just committed to UCF. And that's a great sign for them. You know, I mean, as long as they can continue to recruit at that level, start to build things up, have some success, showcase on national television, I think Gus is going to be fine. And he's a guy that if everything kind of goes well and they can kind of continue to show that progress, I think he'll be here for quite some time. And because I think he loves what they're doing here at UCF. They're investing in the program. They're investing financially in it as well. And the players seem to love him. So, I mean, I there might be some fans here or there who want to see 10, 11, 12 game, you know, win streaks, you know, but I think that's going to take a little bit of time, especially making that move to the Big 12.
Yeah, and you could do a lot worse than being a football coach in Orlando, Florida. So there's a lot worse jobs to have. Matt Mershell is a national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel and Tribune. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @OSMattMershell, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate it. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta this evening. We will certainly chat again soon as we head toward the regular season.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. John Chuckery. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
There's
search and inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Nights with John. It's the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back with the John Chuckery Show. 9:23, live in the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at Dom. You are live. Remember, rank 'em coming up at 1040. So hit us up with your list. And remember, we're going to start at 10 o'clock. We're going to kind of start introducing during Braves home games. We're going to start doing kind of our own little post-game show. So we'll open up the phone lines to you and get your reaction to what we saw last night as the Braves are up 5-0 right now. We got confirmation, Dom, about what led to Lisa Marie Presley's death. So she died in January of this year, only 3 years older than I am.
Okay.
It turns out that she's got complications resulting from small bowel obstruction. According to records from the County of Los Angeles Medical Examiner, small bowel obstructions are blockages in the small intestine that can be caused by numerous factors, including hernias, inflammatory disease, or tumors. That's according to the Cleveland Clinic. In Lisa Marie's case, she suffered from a strangulated small bowel that was caused by adhesions that developed after she had bariatric surgery, a type of weight loss surgery that changes your digestive system that was done years ago. According to an autopsy obtained by NBC News, it stated the medical issue is a known complication of the surgery. So again, you know, it's one of these things where you're pressured into looking good and all this kind of stuff and losing weight. Mm-hmm. And she was a bigger girl. I mean, her mom wasn't big. But again, she got dad's side of the ballooning of the weight and stuff like that. Because again, I can tell you exactly where I was when Elvis died. I was in Homosassa Springs, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We were at this wildlife retreat.
Yeah.
And Elvis died the day we were in Homosassa Springs as a kid. I remember my mom had the newspaper and everything. She was a big Elvis fan, had the newspaper and everything. But, you know, he was, you know, a hefty guy.
Yeah.
He was, again, one of the great singers of all time, one of the great entertainers of all time. But at the end, it was just a disaster. So they ruled the cause of death as natural. Her mother, Priscilla, 77, released a statement saying her daughter had been hospitalized, and hours later, she was dead after that. But it is interesting that this, you know, is probably a result from having, you know, like weight loss type of surgery.
Yep.
And that's the pressure that, you know, these actors and actresses and everything else are under, you know, in today's world. So have you seen that the Screen Actors Guild is officially on strike. Now, you know, we've been talking about, you know, Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible. Did you see where Tom Cruise was here in Atlanta? You see, he was at Regal at Atlantic Station.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, for the viewing, for the screening,
So they can't do any of the late night talk shows. Okay?
To talk about it,
Right. So the way that they're having to promote is boots on the ground and just showing up with fans at a theater. And that's how they're doing it because they're not doing all these talk shows and stuff like that. They're not going on TV and promoting and all this kind of stuff. So, again, I hope he shows up. I wonder if Tom Cruise will show up to my movie theater.
That'd be, I was going to say, that makes me, that as a fan would make me want to go see the movie more because I'm like, all right, well, hold on.
So they always end up over here at Atlantic Station because, you know, when they had that movie, remember that movie about Paige or Soraya in WWE and AEW? The Rock showed up. The Rock made that movie about her, Fighting with My Family, I think it was. But it was the story about Paige from the WWE. The Rock showed up at Atlantic Station.
Nice.
Surprise. So, again, that's – look, I'm hoping as I go tomorrow night to see the movie that Tom Cruise stops on by and, you know, we'll get – I'll get a few minutes with him and we'll chat just – you
would
know, I'll get the phone out and we'll start talking. Or listen, I would be more interested in Haley Atwell or that Rebecca Ferguson. You know, but I'll take Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
you know, I'll take.
We'll settle for Tom.
I'll settle for Tom Cruise when all is said and done. So anyway, all right. So now tying all of this together, okay? Today is National Nude Day. Yes, there is actually a National Nude Day. Now, look, there are certainly a myriad of people that I can say for myself, I'll just speak for myself, that I would enjoy seeing in the nude, au natural, okay? In the wild, okay?
Right.
But for tonight's top 10 list, the top 10 people who should never show off their nudeness, Dom, the floor is yours.
Alrighty, so I got a pretty solid list here, I think. I think I got a pretty solid list. Some people that I'm sure you all will be very familiar with. At number 10, I have Amy Schumer.
You know, I've got her on my list as well. I've got her on. I have definitely got her on my list.
Yes. So thank you. I don't even need to explain that one. We're on the same page.
You know, the funny thing is, when she first got into stand-up comedy, she was an attractive woman when she first got into stand-up. And then, you know, again, I think fame and stuff like that, I mean, it has its toll on you. So, but I'm with you. I got Amy Schumer on my list as well.
At number 9, I have Sarah Jessica Parker. I always thought that she was the ugly friend out of everyone on Sex and the City.
Yeah, and gosh, I mean, she doesn't look healthy right now.
No.
She doesn't look healthy.
No.
Yeah. That's a good one, by the way.
Thank you. At number 8, I don't know if you'll know her. Her name is Lena Dunham. She was on the show Girls, and she made it a point on that show. I think she's on this list because I've seen her nude too many times.
Yes, exactly. There are some people that are always nude. Like Will Ferrell's always nude. Like, again, and he's not on my list, but yeah, there are some people that just, they're always trying to be nude. But I know who Lena Dunham is.
Yeah.
I will save my commentary because, anyway.
Then I started to just kind of go around. I didn't want to just focus on women. So he brought in some guys. So I just started grabbing some weird-looking guys that I was just like, you know what? It's already hard enough to look at you, like, clothed.
Right.
I can't imagine what it looks like underneath. So at number 7, I have Carrot Top.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, he's all buffed up and jacked up.
Which I feel like makes him look weirder.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, again, if he's all roided out, I mean, at least he's buffed up. I mean,
right.
So.
At number 6, this guy. Now, preface this by he does have a condition, so little bit of leniency there. Michael Berryman.
I don't know who that is.
So Michael Berryman is. I'm a big horror movie fan.
Okay.
He's the original guy that was in the first The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
Like the original.
Okay.
He's the weird looking kind of, you know, grotesque creature.
Okay.
Kind of hillbilly.
Okay.
Type deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Him.
All right.
So,
okay.
Yes. At number 5, I have Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, that's a good call, too.
He's a strange-looking one. At number four, I have Rebel Wilson. And it's not because Rebel Wilson was the bigger girl who was in Pitch Perfect.
Have you seen her lately?
So here's what I was going to say.
Whew.
She looks very weird to me, skinny.
Okay, I'll get in trouble for this. I'll be the one that gets in trouble. Okay. I prefer heavier Jennifer Hudson. I think Jennifer Hudson is one of those people who I think she wears her weight well.
Exactly.
And she's very attractive.
Exactly.
Okay. At Queen Latifah, I think wears her weight well.
Yes.
Okay. Again, she's not trying to be a waif, but she's a woman. Like
right.
She's a woman. She's
absolutely.
She's got a figure on her.
Yes.
But
yes.
I think Rebel Wilson looks pretty good right now.
I think she went a little too. Like I think she should have kept some of the thickness.
Okay. So even people like Adele, they start to go over the top.
Yes.
Where their jowls start to cave in on them, right?
And it just
like
doesn't
fit. They take it too far,
yes.
And they need to put some of that water back on just to be healthy looking.
Mm-hmm. And my last three, I have Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay, that's a good one, too.
I have former President Donald Trump.
Yes, that's
a
real good one.
Top of the list, and this is because he bared it all in the movie Failure to Launch, I will be very happy if I never have to see Terry Bradshaw's bare butt ever again in my life.
Oh, okay.
Ever again in my life.
I'll give you two people from that same movie, Jack Nicholson and Kathy Bates.
Okay.
So she was one that was all naked and doing her thing. I the only one we had similar was Amy Schumer.
Okay.
Danny DeVito.
Great answer.
I love Danny DeVito.
Absolutely.
There's something odd, you know, about him. Randy Quaid, have you seen him lately?
Uh-uh.
I mean, his beard is like, he's got like ZZ Top beard. His hair's like out to here. Like, it's just too weird.
Hmm.
Now, I got an honorable mention. Well, I got two honorable mentions, okay? Justin Bieber. One, he looks sickly, and then he's covered in tattoos. I just, not.
Fair enough.
Again, it's just, he looks weird. you ever seen Danny Trejo? Or Danny?
Yes.
Now, again, I like him as an actor. I do. But he's got a weird look to him.
Yeah.
And some of these you may not recognize. Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
Who's unfunny. Who's completely unfunny.
She plays the same.
Completely unfunny.
It's the same role.
Right.
Same role.
And it's not funny. Yeah. Like she's the female equivalent of Kevin Hart. Not funny. Those two people are not funny. Jack Black.
Fair.
He needs a punch in the face. But anyway, that's a separate here. You know Larry the Cable Guy is?
Yes, absolutely.
He's physically, and again, he embodies it, right?
Yeah.
Embraces it, right? So, and then my last two, Jason Alexander, who was naked way too, or at least limited clothing on Seinfeld too many times.
Uh-huh.
Like he just was. And then this used to be a woman that was really, really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Really attractive. And now I don't know what happened. I know it's age, but. Again, I don't know what happened. Kathleen Turner. So she was in Body Heat. She was in Romancing the Stone. What was it? I think the other movie was Jewel of the Nile. It was her and Michael Douglas were the two stars in that.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
I had to see her. I had to see her face. Yes.
And I'll tell you, the other one is Kelly McGillis, to the point where. Do you know that they did not invite her to the Top Gun 2 premiere?
Yes.
She was not,
Yeah.
That wasn't an oversight.
That wasn't at all.
Like, oh, we forgot about you. Oh,
no.
You mean you were the female? No. She looks very, she's a man, baby. She looks very mannish right now.
Yeah.
Now, she wasn't all that, but, you know, again, when she was younger, but she's not aged as well. But they did not invite her.
Oh yeah,
to the premiere.
Oh no, I know. And it's like Martin Lawrence was talking about this one time in one of his stand-ups where he said, you know, women. He was like, you used to be beautiful from afar,
Mm-hmm.
Now you're far from beautiful.
Yes, yes.
And that's so, that's the unfortunate turn of them have taken.
And I know, again, I'm no prize either, but, you know, it's, again, I can mock myself. I have no problem mocking myself. So, anyway, that's our top 10 list as well. When we come back, D. Orlando Ledbetter joined us earlier in the show. We'll get you ready for some Falcons foosball as camp is less than 2 weeks away. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
The John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going
to
tell you.
Head up to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. He, of course, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. Follow him on Twitter, at DOrlandoAJC. D-Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it. And, you know, I guess we're less than 2 weeks away from it all getting cranked back up.
Yeah, no question about it, John. We started in our eight-part position-by-position series on Sunday. It's online right now. We talked to Bijan Robinson last week to kind of get a feel for his mind space as he heads into the season. That's a pretty big one. We'll slide on through the offense and defense and then wrap up with the quarterbacks here as we get ready for training camp 2023.
So let me ask you about Kyle Pitts. Obviously, you know, he's not going to play in the preseason. We heard Arthur Smith talk a few weeks ago about the idea of that they expect everybody to be ready for week number one, and that was implied to be Kyle Pitts as well. What has he been doing as far as, is he rehabbing yet? Is he running yet? Like, what's kind of his game plan for what, you know, this part of the offseason leading into week one is going to be?
Yeah, it'll be more of an ease back in. You know, Tyquan Graham suffered a similar knee injury, but he's back out there. Kyle Pitts is taking another approach here. We haven't seen him, so we don't know. We do know the quarterback has lamented that he hasn't been able to get that connection started with him. So, you know, he would like to have been putting some task on time on task with Kyle. So we're expecting that he's going to be full go. We'll take the coach at his word, and, you know, we'll report on it from there.
You know, D-Led, I think one of the false narratives that a lot of the national media has put out is this idea of, well, we need more pass catchers. And when I look at Robinson, Algier, Jonnu Smith, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Scotty Miller, you know, again, when I look at all of the guys that can catch the football, for an offense that is not going to be a huck-it-all-around type of offense, do you think we need more pass catchers on this roster? Or, you know, do you think we have enough guys at enough different positions that we can catch the football?
I don't. I agree with that. I mean, but I'm used to Roddy White and Julio Jones being right out there. You know, that's what I, you know, you got two top high-level guys. I only see one high-level guy, maybe two, and they're both in their second and third year. So I don't know if Drake London can continue to do that and if Kyle Pitts was a fluke. I mean, Scotty Miller's been a part-time player. Mac Howell's been a part-time player. Cordarrelle Hogg's been a special teamer. You know, you're trying to find some guys to you know, that when you do throw the ball, you want them to be able to catch it and know they're going to be able to do some damage with it. And I don't see a lot of those guys on the roster right now.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, how much do you think – I know Matt Hennessy was taking the first rep in their OTAs or mandatory mini camps or what have you. What do you think the plan is for Bergeron? Do they work him in slowly to see how he adjusts to playing guard, or do you think that they throw him right to the wolves and just, you know, see if he can handle the job and potentially win this starting job?
Yeah, I think they are going to go slow with him. It is a conversion. They've tried the conversion before. It didn't work with Jalen Mayfield. And I just talked to Jake Matthews about it, and he said, hey, if the guy's out there and he's messed up, we're all messed up. So Hennessy's got a floor for him, for them to set until Bergeron's ready to go. Now, you know, they tried to do the Dahlman Hennessy rotation at center as a rookie. So I could see them trying to work Bergeron in over time. But, yeah, they got a floor. They got the benefit of Hennessy, and they're going to probably take advantage of it until they can get this kid ready to play.
So is there any competition at center for Drew Dahlman? Or, I mean, is it just, you know, put in ink that he's going to be our starting center come this year?
Yeah, I don't see any competition on the roster. He's a guy they like, and he's a guy that they got to believe he can get better than what he did last year. He's a technician. He's not going to line up and, you know, just drive people 10 yeah. yards down the field. So that's the way they've elected to go at that position. And, you know, with Coach being a former offensive lineman, kind of got to go with his judgment on that.
So do you see Jalen Mayfield making this team? I mean, can he do enough to instill confidence back on this roster? Do they move him back to guard? Like, what do you think the prognosis is for Jalen Mayfield on this team?
Not very good if you just do it from a football perspective, but we know that people don't want to cut their draft picks. And he was one of their draft picks and a third-round pick. They moved him back to tackle because they said, hey, if you're not going to start, you got to be able to play a couple different spots. So is he going to be the best swing tackle or the best swing guard tackle, you know, on the second line? And, you know, there's a lot of bodies in that group that he's going to have to fight through to earn that eighth or ninth spot, because you only get eight on game day and only 10 for the roster. So he could probably make the team, but probably maybe not the game day roster.
Let's switch over to the defensive side of the football. You know, Lorenzo Carter was a guy who I think when you look, I want to say it was about 75% of the snaps that he played on defense last year. He played a high percentage when you look at his overall snap count. Do you think that stays the same, or is that going to be something that you know, drops as Ebba Cady and Caden Ellis and some of these guys, you know, obviously start playing more on this defense?
Yeah, I think it will. You know, that they got a floor there again with him. They know what Lorenzo can do while they're trying to develop these other guys and bring them along and unleash them, hopefully, so they can get themselves a pass rush here. But, yeah, I think it's the same thing where you get a chance to, you know, go out and play with a pro. And if somebody beats him out, then you put him in there and go from there.
What do you think the expectation for Jesse Bates should be? I mean, should this be a guy? And I know, look, he's been a second-team All-Pro a few years ago with Cincinnati. And, you know, he's, you know, grades out as one of the better safeties in the NFL. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, D-Led. I mean, if he's not, you know, for what they paid, if he's not a second team kind of all pro caliber player, I have my questions about, you know, okay, why did we spend $64 million on a safety if we can't get to the quarterback?
Yeah, I expect him to show up at the ball 10 to 15 times a game, you know, whether it's coming up in the run game or tracking stuff down from a single high safety position. He's a ball hawk, and that's what I expect him to do. And if you got a safety like that that's closing down plays and taking care of the deep stuff, that makes your defense a whole lot better. You just need certainly a pass rush will help him out. But, I mean, if he's back there for 10 seconds, he ain't going to you know, ain't gonna be too much he can do. But if they can cut that down and get to the quarterback, and I just expect to see him when I watch the Falcons, if the ball gets out, I expect to see him showing up at the ball.
So, D-Led, what then becomes of Jaylen Hawkins, Richie Grant? I mean, what do you think the role ends up being? Do they kind of split time? Does Richie Grant secure that safety spot and Jalen Hawkins kind of works himself in? Like, what do you think the two young safeties' role now is with a Jesse Bates, who's kind of the clear leader now of, you know, of that defensive, you know, safety spot?
Yeah, that's going to give you some options on third down. I'm expecting Richie to take it over on first and second. Then on third down, hey, you can put Richie at a big nickel and put Jalen in there at the other safety spot. Either send Richie or have him cover a bigger receiver or a tight end. You got some interchangeable parts to play a big nickel three safety package with now with Hawkins and Grant. Or, you know, go smaller nickel package if the slot receiver is a little guy. You know, I know if you're playing Tampa Bay, you're going to want a bigger guy on Goodwin who's killed a lot of people in them in the past. But you get the little fast, speedy slot guy, then, you know, maybe Clark Phillips or Mikey Hayes is your nickel. You got some options now with the addition of Bates, which is safety rotation. And you got to find you a smaller nickelback, too, for Mikey Hughes or Clark Phillips or somebody that can cover the little fast guys on the crossing routes and so forth. So the new coach has got some options, and, you know, that's a good thing.
So is a guy like Clark Phillips a guy that you think can start right away if he needs to? I'm not saying that he starts 17 games or anything like that, but you can work him into the starting lineup. I mean, is he a guy that – you think can be a starter for this team potentially as we move through the season?
I think he's a nickelback. I don't think he's an outside starter. What I saw of him being real physical, coming up and tackling people, keeping stuff in front of him, I don't believe he can turn and run with the faster receivers in the league. That's why he lasted to the fourth round. But certainly he's a football player to play in tight spaces. So that's how I have him rated. If they're starting him at corner, they're going to be playing a whole lot of zone.
What about former first-round pick Mike Hughes? How does he fit into this? Does he kind of become your starting nickel corner, or, you know, what do you see his role being?
Yeah, depth nickel corner. I think they want Phillips to beat him out. Hughes has not been able to maintain a starting spot in three different places. So, you know, for all of a sudden to think he's going to come in and be Deion Sanders, not really fair. But he is a pro with good speed and intangibles. He has played in some games. But, yeah, if you're counting on him to be a starter-level guy, you know, you kind of already seen that.
Last question for you, D-Led. Who do you think ends up winning the punt return job when all is said and done? Is that going to be one of those things that there's going to be a lot of competition for that with obviously Avery Williams out for the year?
Yeah, no doubt. Josh Ali is a guy to keep your eye on. Dee Alford was mentioned. And I really, you know, haven't studied it much past that. But they had a lot of people back there taking punts. Even Bijan was taking some punts during OTAs. I definitely don't expect to see that. But, yeah, Josh Allen's the dark horse for me. Dee Alford, and we'll get into camp and see, you know, who's all back there on the first few days and so forth to see who's going to take over for Avery Williams at the punt returner job.
I said last question, but I want to ask about, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson will obviously return kicks. You know, I think he's had maybe like one or two punt returns in his NFL career. Would there be any thought about putting him back there as a punt returner?
No, I don't think. I think he's a straight kickoff guy. They haven't. I think he might have returned some as a rookie in Minnesota, but I don't see that being a thing for them to do. But you know, we got to kind of leave it as an open space for now on somebody that's you know, could make a contribution and find them a spot to the roster via the punt return position.
Well, that will be an interesting battle because I don't know that there's a great solution to that past Avery Williams. So, D. Orlando Ledbetter, you can check out all of his work at AJC.com. He is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check him out on his Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC, and join me on the WadeFord.com hotline. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes. We will chat again soon.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Now, more of the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you about my town. I'm going
to
tell you.
Head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy, D. Orlando Ledbetter. He, of course, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. Follow him on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. D-Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it. And, you know, I guess we're less than 2 weeks away from it all getting cranked back up.
Yeah, no question about it, John. We started in our eight-part position-by-position series on Sunday. It's online right now. We talked to Bijan Robinson last week to kind of get it the feel for his mind space as he heads into the season. That's a pretty big one. We'll slide on through the offense and defense and then wrap up with the quarterbacks here as we get ready for training camp 2023.
So let me ask you about Kyle Pitts. Obviously, you know, he's not going to play in the preseason. We heard Arthur Smith talk a few weeks ago about the idea of that they expect everybody to be ready for week number one, and that was implied to be Kyle Pitts as well. What has he been doing as far as, is he rehabbing yet? Is he running yet? Like, what's kind of his game plan for what, you know, this part of the offseason leading into week one is going to be?
Yeah, it'll be more of an ease back in. You know, Tyquan Graham suffered a similar knee injury, but he's back out there. Kyle Pitts is taking another approach here. We haven't seen him, so we don't know. We do know the quarterback has lamented that he hasn't been able to get that connection started with him. So, you know, he would like to have been putting some time on task with Kyle. So we're expecting that he's going to be full go. We'll take the coach at his word, and, you know, we'll report on it from there.
You know, D-Led, I think one of the false narratives that a lot of the national media has put out is this idea of, well, we need more pass catchers. And when I look at Robinson, Algier, Jonnu Smith, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Scotty Miller, you know, again, when I look at all of the guys that can catch the football, for an offense that is not going to be a huck it all around type of offense. Do you think we need more pass catchers on this roster, or you know, do you think we have enough guys at enough different positions that we can catch the football?
I don't. I agree with that. But I'm used to Roddy White and Julio Jones being out there. You know, that's what I, you know, you got two top high-level guys. I only see one high-level guy, maybe two, and they're both in their second and third year. So I don't know if Drake London can continue to do that and if Kyle Pitts was a fluke. Scotty Miller's been a part-time player. Mack Howell's been a part-time player. Cordarrelle Hogg's been a special teamer. You know, you're trying to find some guys that when you do throw the ball, you want them to be able to catch it and know they're going to be able to do some damage with it. And I don't see a lot of those guys on the roster right now.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining us here on the WadeFort.com hotline. So, how much do you think – I know Matt Hennessy was taking the first rep in their OTAs or mandatory mini camps or what have you. What do you think the plan is for Bergeron? Do they work him in slowly to see how he adjusts to playing guard, or do you think that they throw him right to the wolves and just, you know, see if he can handle the job and potentially win this starting job?
Yeah, I think they are going to go slow with him. It is a conversion. They've tried the conversion before. It didn't work with Jalen Mayfield. And I just talked to Jake Matthews about it, and he said, hey, if the guy's out there and he's messed up, we're all messed up. So Hennessy's got a floor for him, for them to set until Bergeron's ready to go. Now, you know, they tried to do the Dahlman Hennessy rotation as center as a rookie, so I could see them trying to work Bergeron in over time. But yeah, they got a floor, they got the benefit of Hennessy, and they're gonna probably take advantage of it until they can get this kid ready to play.
So, is there any competition at center for Drew Dahlman, or I mean, is it just, you know, put in ink that he's gonna be our starting center come this year?
Yeah, I don't see any competition on the roster. He's a guy they like, and he's a guy that they got to believe he can get better than what he did last year. He's a technician. He's not going to line up and, you know, just drive people 10 yards down the field. So that's the way they've elected to go at that position. And, you know, with Coach being a former offensive lineman, kind of got to go with his judgment on that.
So, do you see Jalen Mayfield making this team? I mean, can he do enough to instill confidence back on this roster? Do they move him back to guard? Like, what do you think the prognosis is for Jalen Mayfield on this team?
Not very good if you just do it from a football perspective, but we know that people don't want to cut their draft picks. And he was one of their draft picks and a third-round pick. They've moved him back to tackle because they said, hey, if you're not going to start, you got to be able to play a couple different spots. So is he going to be the best swing tackle or the best swing guard tackle, you know, on the second line? And, you know, there's a lot of bodies in that group that he's going to have to fight through to earn that eighth or ninth spot, because you only get eight on game day and only 10 for the roster. So, he could probably make the team, but probably maybe not the game day roster.
Let's switch over to the defensive side of the football. You know, Lorenzo Carter was a guy who I think when you look, I want to say it was about 75% of the snaps that he played on defense last year. He played a high percentage when you look at his overall snap count. Do you think that stays the same, or is that going to be something that you know, drops as – Ebba Cady and Caden Ellis and some of these guys, you know, obviously start playing more on this defense?
Yeah, I think it will. You know, that they got a floor there again with him. They know what Lorenzo can do while they're trying to develop these other guys and bring them along and unleash them, hopefully, so they can get themselves a pass rush here. But, yeah, I think it's the same thing where you get a chance to, you know, go out and play with a pro. And if somebody beats him out, then you put him in there and go from there.
What do you think the expectation for Jesse Bates should be. I mean, should this be a guy? And I know, look, he's been a second team All-Pro a few years ago with Cincinnati, and you know he's grades out as one of the better safeties in the NFL. But you know, I'll be honest with you, D-Led. I mean, if he's not, for what they paid, if he's not a second team kind of All-Pro caliber player, I have my questions about, okay, why did we spend $64 million on a safety if we can't get to the quarterback?
Yeah, I expect him to show up at the ball 10 to 15 times a game, whether it's coming up in the run game or tracking stuff down from a single high safety position. He's a ball hawk, and that's what I expect him to do. And if you got a safety like that that's closing down plays and taking care of the deep stuff, that makes your defense a whole lot better. You just need certainly a pass rush will help him out. But, I mean, if he's back there for 10 seconds, he ain't going to ain't gonna be too much he can do. But if they can cut that down and get to the quarterback, and I just expect to see him when I watch the Falcons, if the ball gets out, I expect to see him showing up at the ball.
So, D-Led, what then becomes of Jalen Hawkins, Richie Grant? I mean, what do you think the role ends up being? Do they kind of split time? Does Richie Grant secure that safety spot and Jalen Hawkins kind of works himself in? Like, what do you think the two young safeties' role now is with a Jesse Bates, who's kind of the clear leader now of, of that defensive, safety spot?
Yeah, that's going to give you some options on third down. I'm expecting Richie to take it over on first and second. Then on third down, hey, you can put Richie at a big nickel and put Jalen in there at the other safety spot. Either send Richie or have him cover a bigger receiver or a tight end. You got some interchangeable parts to play a big nickel three safety package with now with Hawkins and Grant. Or, go smaller nickel package if the slot receiver's a little guy. I know if you're playing Tampa Bay, you're going to want a bigger guy on Goodwin who's killed a lot of people in them in the past. But you get the little fast, speedy slot guy, then, maybe Clark Phillips or Mikey Hayes is your nickel. You got some options now with the addition of Bates with your safety rotation. And you got to find you a smaller nickelback, too, for Mikey Hughes or Clark Phillips or somebody that can cover the little fast guys on the crossing routes and so forth. So the new coach has got some options, and, that's a good thing.
So is a guy like Clark Phillips a guy that you think can start right away if he needs to? I'm not saying that he starts 17 games or anything like that, but you can work him into the starting lineup. I mean, is he a guy that – you think can be a starter for this team potentially as we move through the season?
I think he's a nickelback. I don't think he's an outside starter. What I saw of him being real physical, coming up and tackling people, keeping stuff in front of him, I don't believe he can turn and run with the faster receivers in the league. That's why he lasted to the fourth round. But certainly he's a football player to play in tight spaces. So that's how I have him rated. If they're starting him at corner, they're going to be playing a whole lot of zone.
What about former first-round pick Mike Hughes? How does he fit into this? Does he kind of become your starting nickel corner, or what do you see his role being?
Yeah, depth nickel corner. I think they want Phillips to beat him out. Hughes has not been able to maintain a starting spot in three different places. So, if all of a sudden you think he's going to come in and be Deion Sanders, not really fair. But he is a pro with good speed and intangibles. He has played in some games. But, if you're counting on him to be a starter-level guy, you kind of already seen that.
Last question for you, D-Led. Who do you think ends up winning the punt return job when all is said and done? Is that going to be one of those things that – there's going to be a lot of competition for that with, obviously, Avery Williams out for the year?
Yeah, no doubt. Josh Ali is a guy to keep your eye on. Dee Alford was mentioned. And I really, haven't studied it much past that. But they had a lot of people back there taking punts. Even Bijan was taking some punts during OTAs. I definitely don't expect to see that. But, Josh Allen's the dark horse for me. Dee Alford, and we'll get into camp and see, you know, who's all back there on the first few days and so forth to see who's going to take over for Avery Williams at the punt returner job.
I said last question, but I want to ask about, you know, Cordell will obviously, Cordell Patterson will obviously return kicks. You know, he's, I don't think he's ever kind of, I think he's had maybe like one or two punt returns in his NFL career. Would there be any thought about putting him back there as a punt returner?
No, I don't think, I think he's a straight kickoff guy. They haven't, I think he might have returned some as a rookie in Minnesota. But, yeah, I don't see that being a thing for them to do. But, you know, we got to kind of leave it as an open space for now on somebody that's, you know, could make a contribution and find them a spot to the roster via the punt return position.
Well, that will be an interesting battle because I don't know that there's a great solution to that past Avery Williams. So, D. Orlando Ledbetter, you can check out all of his work at AJC.com. He is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check him out on his Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC, and join me on the WadeFord.com hotline. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes. We will chat again soon.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.